As to send them 279 would be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. It is a blessing to see you. We have several in the audience who are visiting with us, and we're certainly glad that you have made the choice to be with us this morning. And if you have a question, if you have a comment that you'd like to make, anything that you would like to know about us, just let us know. We'd be glad to sit down with you and do our best to give you a Bible answer to your questions and fill you in on any information that you would like to know. It's good to see all the Spears here with us this morning. We miss y'all. Good to see all the young boys. How tall is Jesse now? She's growing. You're growing too. My goodness. Where do you get the height from? It's good to see y'all. It's a blessing to be here. We are going to be contemplating the subject of patience this morning. And that is a quality that many of you characterize every Sunday morning. You said you listen patiently, and that is very much appreciated. And so perhaps I do a little bit, or at least a little bit, in helping you develop patience in your life. I hope that's the case. But patience is an extremely important quality that all of us must have. If we're going to be faithful to the Lord, if we're going to reach heaven, we must be patient. I did something this past Friday morning that no one should have to do. I went to a funeral. My first cousin's son took his own life last week. And I was there, first time I'd seen many of my cousins in several years. We're kind of scattered around, but it shouldn't have been an occasion like that that brought us all together. Why do things like that happen? Well, there are multiple reasons. But one is we do not develop patience, perseverance, endurance through hardships and struggles and difficulties. We have not developed patience. Why not? This morning, hopefully our lesson will not only inform us of the need, but also help us to implement things in our life that will help develop patience in ourselves so that we are able to endure, that we are able to persevere and to keep on keeping on. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." In this text, we actually have the basis given for our patience, why we should be patient, and the means by which we receive our patience. Notice, first of all, Paul is talking about the struggles that he had, and the reality is that all of us have, and that we live in a wicked world. We live in a world where there is no faith. Men do not have faith. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Isn't that just cause to have patience? God is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Listen, God provides what we need so that we can be protected and guarded. God provides. God is faithful. God provides. The Lord grants us the things that we need. But here's the thing in verse 4, the end of verse 4. Both that you do and will do the things that we command you. Listen, if I am going to develop patience, and the Lord is going to help me develop patience, and I have a firm foundation upon which I can confidently trust God, here's what I have to do. I have to do those things that are commanded of me. I have to obey the Lord. Because the things that develop patience in my life were things that the Lord commands me to do. And if I do what He says, then I will develop patience. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Here's another reason why we ought to be patient. Know that God loves us. Know that God cares about our circumstances and our situation. And that God will provide us with what we need. And into the patience of Christ. Some interpret that as the patience that Christ had in His suffering. It's the patience that Christ gives those who are suffering. And that's really the point that I would think we would need to emphasize in this. The patience of Christ. The perseverance, that same that Christ had, should be implemented in our life, right? So that we can persevere like He persevered. He's the chief example. And so we need to follow His example. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 4, he said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You know, God hears. God delivers. Oh, but God doesn't deliver me from all problems, from all difficulties or struggles. He doesn't deliver me from the fire. No, what He gives me is something that I can, through His help, persevere through the fire. And thus, when I come out on the other side of the fire, I am what He wants me to be. It is He gives me what I need to get through the fire. He delivers me, just like He delivered Jesus. He didn't deliver Him from death. He delivered Him through death. Just like He delivered the apostles. He didn't deliver them from struggles, from persecution and trials. He delivered them through those things. Every one of them suffered a martyr's death, except for, well, according to history at least, according to John. All the rest died at the hands of their persecutors. But He delivered them through those trials. And when they reached the other side, they were perfected and glorified. And the struggles that we go through in life are to help us to become more what we ought to be. But listen, I sought the Lord and He heard me. Just like Jesus sought the Lord, the Father, and He was heard, according to Psalm 22. God hears us and He cares about us. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Paul there writes, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, we all fall into temptations. The word temptation here can either be persecution and trials or temptation to do that which is evil. I actually think it encompasses all things that would tempt us to sin or lose faith and turn our back on God. Anything that would cause us to lose our faith in God is here mentioned. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. We all face such temptations or such trials. Every one of us. But God is faithful. Did you hear that? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And someone says, I don't know about, really about that. Because I don't know that I can bear this. My friend, if God is allowing you to go through it, I promise you, God will give you what you need to get through it. He will. You just have to trust Him. And if there is something that keeps you from going through it, if there's something that motivates you or talks you into giving up or coming short, then listen, it's not God's fault. It's your fault for not trusting Him enough, for not submitting to Him enough. You don't place enough confidence in Him to get you through. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He will make the way. That's a promise from God. Do we trust him enough? In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 18, here, this is in the context, David is praying for his son Solomon. And in verse 18 it says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart towards you. That's exactly what Paul was saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. That we direct our hearts towards the love of God. That our hearts become fixed upon God. That our life is fixed or built upon God. Our whole focus is upon God and upon what he's provided for us. Fix their heart towards you. The word patience itself. Let's slow down and think just a little bit about this term. What does it mean? Literally, there are two Greek words translated patience in the New Testament. One is this term that we find in our text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Hupomone is the Greek term, and it means an abiding under. It's almost invariably rendered patience. It means endurance, to endure, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, he deals with this word in this passage specifically. He says, the phrase, the patience of Christ, may be paraphrased, the Lord teach and enable you to love as God loves and to be patient as Christ is patient. Endure. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer there says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and thank to Brent for reading this text to us a little earlier, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance. That's the same Greek word, by the way. Endurance. The race that is set before us with patience. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin. Endurance, endurance, endured. That's what Jesus did. And so, the Hebrew writer is telling us, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who made our faith, our salvation possible. He authored it. He is the foundation of it. And he has blazed the trail. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. He makes it all available and possible for us. And shown us the way. But that was through much endurance. Much patience. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 6. This same Greek word is found in the text where Paul writes, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Be patient as we are suffering. But notice he says this, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. What were they being afflicted for? They were being afflicted because they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that brings about our consolation and salvation? It is the gospel for which they suffer. And that gospel then is effective for enduring the same sufferings, bringing about in our own hearts the kind of faith that is necessary for us to endure like they did. That is what the gospel is to accomplish in our life if we will let it. It will we will be incapable of persevering if we don't have faith. But it will enable, faith will enable us to have the enduring quality necessary for us to get through the trials. It is for your consolation and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Either way, they were preaching the gospel so we could be saved. In Luke 8 and verse 15, in the parable of the sower, Jesus there says, "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." That's what the noble and good heart ground does with the seed that it receives. It receives it, it keeps it, and it bears fruit with patience. Patience. With endurance. It keeps on. In Luke 21 and verse 19, Jesus said, "By your patience possess your souls." Listen, we live in an instantaneous, fast pace, microwave type society, don't we? I mean, everything is, we want it right now. Our communication, we want it right now. We've got our cell phones and we can find information like that. We want everything quick and easy. And I'll tell you, I think, this is just my opinion, I'm going to throw it out there. You think I'm crazy if you want to. But I really think that our fast-paced, instantaneous microwave society is rendering or bearing bad fruit. I think it is negatively affecting us, not just in what we do or how we behave, but in who we are. Our character is not being developed like it needs to be. Young people are being spoiled rotten. Sorry, young folks, but I think that's the case. They are being spoiled absolutely rotten. They're given everything they want when they want it. And they don't know then how to deal with hardships or problems when they arise in their life. When they grow up and become adults, they cannot cope. They don't have the tools to cope. By your patience, possess your souls. This is not only a quality necessary for successful life in this world. It is absolutely essential for our pleasing God. In Romans 2 and verse 6, "Who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who" what? "By patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Eternal life will be given to who? Those who by patient continuance in doing good. Romans 2 and verse 6 and 7. Romans 5 and verse 4, Paul puts it this way. A little later, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," okay, so we're saved through the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, what kind of faith? Go back a few weeks. We talked about the nature of saving faith. We had a series on that. What kind of faith is it that saves? A faith that hears God, believes God, trusts God, and obeys God. Submits wholeheartedly to God's will. That brings justification. Now, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So standing in grace and having hope in God, verse 3 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." There's our word, patience. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. What if we don't meet the struggles, the hardships of life? What if we don't go through difficulties? I think I told this story here just a couple of weeks ago. I know it is in Bible class, I think, because we were going through 1 Peter chapter 4. But I was reading a while back of this dome that these scientists created, and it was a dome where they were growing all these plants and just a complete controlled environment. And they had the most beautiful plants you'd ever seen. And they had these really big trees that had grown up. But as they got bigger and bigger, they started falling over.
Why?
Because they had grown up without one thing that these scientists forgot to put in this dome. That's wind. There was no resistance. There were no trials. There was nothing that was challenging or causing these trees to put down roots. So they fell over. Our trials, our hardships produce character. And character, hope. Romans 8 and verse 24, Paul there says, "For we are saved," or "we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." That's why John, the Apostle John, writes that all who have this hope purifies themselves, even as he is pure. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Because we have hope, the hope that we have in Christ, we patiently endure. We have to hold on, though, to that hope. In Hebrews 10 and verse 36, there the Hebrew writer says this, you have need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, where does the promise come in? Where do we get the promise? We get the promise after we've done what? The will of God. But in order to do the will of God, in fact, including in doing the will of God, is this endurance. He says in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. By your patience, possess your souls. Colossians 1 and verse 10, Paul is praying for the church in Colossae. "Pray that they may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering." Patience. We need to know God's Word. We need to implement God's Word in our life. We need thus to accept what God provides us through those avenues, that is strength, so that we can be fully pleasing to Him. For all patience and long suffering. Here's another word actually that is translated patience in many texts. To be long tempered. One term, the first term that we have been looking at, in fact, all those passages have been using the same Greek term. It has to do with endurance. Because we're trusting God, we are enduring, we're abiding under the trial. Now, this other word, and again, as Vines defines it, akin to, A, that is akin to the other word that we've been looking at, hupomone. But this word is macrothumio, which means to be long-tempered. In other words, it has more to do with self-control than us holding back our response or our reaction to the trial. And he says, for all patience and long-suffering. So we are enduring and we are not retaliating. We are not responding rashly. Vine says, long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. God is long-suffering to usward, right? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So, long-suffering is that quality and is often referencing God's long-suffering to us, but it also has reference to how we ought to be long-suffering to others. Patience is a quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. And by the way, this is the same Greek term, this term that means long suffering. It suffers long. It endures. In Psalms 37 and verse 7, the psalmist said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." You know, keep our desires under check. Control our emotions. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Now, we can all learn patience. We can all learn how to wait patiently for that which is before us. We can all learn that characteristic. Even dogs can learn this. That's not an easy trick to teach a dog, by the way. But they can learn it. You can learn it too. You can learn to patiently wait for those things that you want. This is an act of self-discipline, no doubt about it. You know that new car that you want? You know that new house that you want? You know that new boat that you want? You know that, and we just go on and on and on. That new diamond ring that you want? Go on and on and on. These things that you want. You know, we need to wait patiently. Think soberly. Think about how that's going to affect our pocketbook. Patience is a very needed quality today. Patience is waiting, but not passively waiting, someone once said. That is laziness. But to keep going when the going is hard and slow, that is patience. You just keep on trucking, you keep on doing, and you put your desires on hold. You don't try to rush things and push ahead and take things into your own hands. Edward G. Bulwer said, "Patience is not passive. On the contrary, it is active. It is concentrated strength." It takes strength to say no to your own desires, to your own rash responses to your struggles. It takes strength to say no, to control yourself. It takes strength to restrain yourself and waiting for God and God's time. In James, the fifth chapter, James talks quite a bit about patience. In fact, he uses both of these terms kind of interchangeably in this text. It says in verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren." That means to endure. "Until the coming of the Lord. For see the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Now, James is clearly dealing with our response and our dealings with each other, and how we are to be patient with each other in this context. And so, we need to be patient, temperate, self-restrained, self-controlled, and do what we ought to be doing. Do what's right. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Well, they all suffered. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. They all went through hardships. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." No, God is not going to be able to give us what He really wants to give us until we have persevered. Then He can give us what He really wants to give us. But you've seen how He dealt with Job. You understand that. That in this context, there is clearly a need for continuation. Be patient till the coming of the Lord. You continue on doing what is right. You be patient. This same point is made many times in the New Testament. The example of the farmer. What does the farmer depend upon? What is he depending on? I mean, what good would his crop, or how would he profit from his crop if their flood came? Or if the windstorms came and blew everything away? Or if the insect swarms came and destroyed it all? He would be gone. He would lose his entire source of income. Who is the farmer depending on? He has to depend on God. And what if the insect storms or insect swarms came, or the storms